Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And with us this evening, we have a special guest all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, Ben Jurek. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Ben, you're fresh off your 4-2 performance at BAO, so we definitely want to pick your brain on what's new, not only from an orc perspective, but also some of the big news coming over this week. And starting with the first one is, heard you like FAQs? We got FAQs for your FAQs. And so right off the bat, Games Workshop comes out with an explanation for their explanations. And this felt like a conversation with my mother-in-law. It was a very long-winded question, and they kind of gave an answer, and I kind of went, do you want tea with that? I'm not sure what that means. So the biggest one, as we were talking a little bit before we started recording, is the new one. What happens if it says, I can do this as if it were the following phase? What rules can I stack on top of that? And Ben, you explained it to me very well, so help me out with this again.
So it's long-worded, and they answer three questions at once in one paragraph. To summarize, you get all your rules as if it's a shooting. You don't get any strata. And then in Overwatch, nothing counts. But only if it says as if shooting fit.
So basically, if it says, so if you're shooting out of sequence, you can't stack a stratagem on top of that you would normally play in the shooting phase.
Yes.
But if you had in the shooting phase, I get to do something special like exploding sixes or something like that, I'm good to go even if I'm shooting outside of the shooting phase.
Correct.
How many times can it say shooting phase in the same episode? We'll find out. You mentioned that the Overwatch thing, that kind of can sneak up on a couple units. And I think the first thing you mentioned was that nothing applies. So even the R abilities for like rerolling ones, that goes away as well?
Depends how it's worded. It says shooting fit, then it doesn't count. But if something says when this unit shoots, it does count.
Interesting. So read your data slates carefully. There's a lot of new information out there. It does at least clarify some of it. It just took a while to get through the clarification, but appreciate you shedding some light on that. So that was kind of neat to see that. Other little smaller changes, but could be interesting. Interesting, the Cadre Fireblade got toned down a little bit. So it's just another one of those multiplication before addition type situations. And Long Strike also got some keyword changes, so he can actually buff himself because he's now. I didn't realize before he wasn't considered a hammerhead. I thought that was funny.
How does that work out?
So in the past, he was the new rule. Way it adds now is you can add 1 to 2 hit rolls in the shooting phase. For all Tau Sept friendlies, Tau Sept hammerheads within 6 inches of Long Strike, and I guess Long Strike didn't have the hammerhead keyword, so everybody around him was more accurate, but he wasn't. So they added hammerhead to his keywords as well. So I guess when he's by himself, he can also reroll ones.
I get that. I'm just trying to understand how someone riding a hammerhead doesn't count as being in a hammerhead.
I don't know. Maybe he's in the pack seat. Who knows?
These are all rules.
The
as
ultimate
intended.
Pack seat driver.
Yeah, it was intended that way, but just didn't quite work out that way. Also went into, I could have swore this was pretty clear. I didn't realize this needed an explanation, that Death Watch do not get bolted, the Bolt-O-Bater rules with their special ammo. So,
well, I don't know. I think that actually, I think something like that came up against me when we were doing the Scorched Earth Open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember 100%, but I think the guy playing Death Watch that I played played it like that, and I couldn't see any reason why he wouldn't be able to play it that way at the time.
Yeah, that was more of a clarification, because in the FAQ it was identified as you get one or the other. And this just clarifies it further.
So handy to have. So yes, I can't imagine just twice as many shots with vengeance rounds with null zone. That would just be ugly, but not the case. And then, of course, all your Space Wolf fans, you got a couple changes to your war gear that's available to you. So it was pretty small. I mean, an FAQ to an FAQ, we didn't expect anything too large. Heck, we didn't even think it was coming. So, but it was nice to get some rules updates for a little bit of contrast from all our previous news updates. So as we talked about last time, June 8th, you can pre-order all those wonderful super paints that paint your models for you. And it should be out the following weekend. So lots of interesting stuff there. So that is pretty much the news for this week. I'd be curious to see what else comes out. There was the UK Games Fest over the weekend. Games Workshop did unveil several new items. Unfortunately, none of them for 40K. So if you're into specialist games, particularly Blood Bowl and Necromunda, lots for you to feast on. But interesting that nothing new came out there for 40K. So we kind of thought they may be waiting for such a big event. It's not the case.
What is the next big event that they usually announce something? Nova?
Yeah, we're past Adepticon, so we Nova. So Labor Day weekend, so first weekend of September. So we've got a ways to go here.
It's been a long summer.
Yeah, good 60 days there. And when you start looking at the codexes they've already kind of teased out, you know, you got Chaos Kniggets, you've got possibly, will we ever see Sisters of Battle? I think it's going to be perpetually in beta. And there's talk about a new Space Marine codex. There's talk about a new AdMac codex. And sooner or later, I guess they're going to get a Codex Demons update with all the Slaanesh rules in it. That's pretty full slate, so maybe there won't be that much new, but I'm still waiting for that new campaign book. Necessarily Vigilus 2, but the other side of the galaxy, so we can get the other factions involved with specialist attachments and all that fun stuff.
That is exciting.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see that in the next, like, 6 months. I think we'll see that over the course of the next, like, 2 years.
Oh, shame on you.
And I will, by that, I mean, because we won't, when we get to some of the, at least one or two of those armies that get addressed in the campaign book, I would expect that we'd probably see, you know, something like what they do with CSM and to an extent Space Marines, where we've got a new codex, and with the other we're going to get it, just to kind of run along with that. So, you know, I still think that we're going to see, to some extent, Eldari in the next one. I would expect us to not just get a campaign book with Yanari, but probably their version 2 codex and possibly some models along with that.
I hope so. I hope a little sooner than that, though, because it'd be kind of nice if they kind of flip-flopped. You know, there's Vigilus does one half of the codices, and then whatever this other campaign is does the other half. They kind of flip-flop back and forth, addressing all the, because theoretically, they could always go back to Vigilus for book number 3 and update some stuff.
I think they were very clear that they weren't doing Vigilus as their next expansion for the rest of Xenos and such.
They were, and that's what I'm thinking, whatever this new planet system conflict, whatever you want to call it, it's clear something on the other side of the galaxy that's kind of justifies the reason why they weren't on Vigilus, and you could probably do quite a bit with that. And that's what I want. Okay, when is that going to come out? What does that look like? So anyway, this usual impatient me waiting for stuff to come out. But anyway, enough moaning and groaning. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll go over. We had 6 GT level events over the weekend. We'll go over those in great detail right after this break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Welcome back after the break. We start, well, the most controversial tournament. Well, really wasn't a controversy. It was just one we were kind of questioning. Ray, you thought this might have been a joke, but there really was a tournament in Blacktown, New South Wales this weekend. Sure. And not only that, it was GT level. So let's go over that. We're talking, of course, about the Overwatch Battle Royale. Had nothing to do with the video game, but it had some really good players there playing some 40K. And your top five looks something like this. Mark Phillips comes in fifth place with Imperium. Fourth place, Eleanor Byler with Drukhari. Third place, Joshua Brody with Imperium. Second place, Lee Connor with Astra Militarum. And your winner for the event is Christopher Wright with Eldari. So that is your top five from New South Wales.
To the last man and the last round!
Moving on to Merriott, England, the critical hit Grand Slam GT. Got to get all those words in for the title. Your top five looks something like this. Fifth place, Ash Loftus with Imperium. Fourth place, James Dice. That's an awesome name for a 40K player playing Imperium. Third place, you know, every time this guy gets in the top five, I fumble over his name. So this week will be no different. Mark Crumbleholm with Eldari. Second place, Kane Foster with Custodes. And your winner of the critical hit Grand Slam GT is Bethany Taylor with Cult Mechanicus. So two interesting trivia things. I just had two events, two top fives. We had two females in the top five. It's pretty awesome. Loving that diversity. And the second thing is Bethany took the same list I proposed last summer and didn't have the money to buy. And won a GT with it. So all I got to say is, I told you it worked. Of course, I would have found a way to screw it up. But great job, Bethany. So yeah, it's a pretty cool list. Get a chance to check it out. It has three units of six Cataphron Destroyers with plasma.
Demon, fear my wrath.
Heading back to North America, but north of the border, we're going to head over to Winnipeg, Manitoba, where they're probably mourning their Jets just absolutely falling flat on their face in the NHL playoffs. But we're here to talk about 40K. And the most specifically, the Planes of War GT. And your top five looks something like this. Matt Czar with Orcs comes in fifth. Marcus Trowbridge with Tau comes in fourth. Third place, Travis Jacobs with Imperium. Second place, Ryan Mandrick with Chaos. I forget the last name like that. He played Drukhari, but not the case. And your winner of the Planes of War GT is a Brendan Christie with Astra Militarum. It's cruising down from Winnipeg. We're going to stay in the Pacific Northwest this time in Bremerton, Washington. Not sure exactly where that is in relation to Seattle, but sounds wonderful this time of year.
It's a suburb.
Is it?
Yep.
Thanks. Appreciate it. For a tournament, Conrad Cruz was right, GT. So clearly somebody had an axe to grind, but on a horse heresy issue. Your top five looks something like this. In fifth place, Harrison Jewell with Custodes. Fourth place, Nick Dancor with Astra Militarum. Third place, Jason Bird with Nurgle. Second place, Zachary Nelson with Eldari. And your winner of the Conrad Cruz was right, GT, Charles Arnett with Orcs. So your beloved Greenskins cracking the top of the list there.
Yep, Chuck is from Best in Faction, and he's in a chat of mine, and I saw that win. I was proud of him.
We'll get into the state of Orc list a little bit later in our show, so I definitely want to hear more about that. For our next tournament, nothing like the Breaking in Summer, then the Carnage of Summer. So we're going to head back over to the East Coast, Bel Air, Maryland, specifically for the Carnage of Summer GT. And your top five looks something like this. Rob Triplett with Space Wolves comes in fifth. In fourth place, Samuel Fry with Death Guard. Third place, Scott Horos with Astro Militarum. Third place, Ryan Christensen with Tau Sept. And your winner with Imperium is Shane Watts. Congratulations to all of you at the Carnage of Summer GT.
Faith is our shield.
And our last event of note is the Bad Moon. Make sure I pronounce this right, because the Bad Moon GT series. In case you missed this on the BCP, the LWG. So the presents this. So the London, probably Warhammer Gaming Club. It's a good thing what LWG stands for. Anyway, let's get into the top five. And it's quite of a who's who of ETC members. Starting in fifth place, Neil Robertson with Chaos. Fourth place, John King with Blood Angels. That's right, folks. Blood Angels made the top five. Got to love that fly keyword. Third place, Matt Davis with Thousand Sons. Second place, Conrad Bartowski, or Barkowitz. I think that's right, Barkowitz. Sorry about that, Conrad, with Imperium. And your winner is none other than Simon Pritis with Orcs from Team Draco, taking the Bad Moon GT. So we're going to take a quick break after this and go over some of these lists. Let's also talk to our special guest, Ben, a little greater detail about Orcs and his current plans for the summer. Be back after this. All right, welcome back after the break. As mentioned, we have Ben Jurek with us, one of the top Orc players on the ITC circuit. Just got back from BAO, sir. How was your weekend?
Well, that weekend was a lot of fun. Merrily missed the top eight, but whatever. I saw a lot of really interesting lists. You saw the shift post Castellan, and we got to see Jeff Robinson win BAO.
So you mentioned, first of all, no shame in missing the top eight, as we talked about during our BAO weekend. I mean, several players. I mean, it was neck and neck. It came down to even Brandon Grant missing the top eight by a mere point. So interesting. Sometimes you have to look at some of those larger tournaments and do they have to expand more playoff brackets or figure. It's so difficult to make that top eight when you have that many competitive players in one area. But you mentioned the meta shift. So the lack of Stellans, as a matter of fact, only one Knight player made the Type 8. Describe some of the things you saw, and is this a kind of a work in progress, or is this still going to move in another direction?
Well, I think the big things we saw were the shifts and substitutions that everyone was making. So Dracari list, all the craft worlds are gone. That's not a thing anymore. Imperium list, no Castellan. But three tank command, that's the thing you're seeing. Relic cannon, flat three damage, all that fun stuff. So that's the Astra Militaria shift for the Guard Brigade in 60 to 90 bodies and Bulgrin. Some people are shifting back to the three shield captains on bike as their supreme command plugin. Other people are just expanding some of their shooting. Custody lists are all over the place with Caladius Grab Tank. So those are all over the place, and Jeff won with them. So you're going to see more of them. Assassin's Strat is everywhere. what else can I really bring here?
Here's a question specific about the Assassin Strat, because as an Orc player, you've got a lot of characters, not specifically to your list, but the common archetype. Is it working? Is it, or it's just one of those, it's a great tool when you have the right matchup?
It's definitely a toolbox. You pick based on what you expect to see. I have a transport in my list, so it doesn't hit much. But in other lists, say Armin, for example, in Chaos, he's always going to get shot. That's what happens to him. So you have to try and hide him or do something. So it creates a scenario where people have to build their list expecting to see assassins and whichever one they expect to see. You know, Calidus is always a problem for lists that want to spend all their CP. Like Orcs or Chaos. But there are other lists that are more directly affected by a Kalexis. Or, say, the Vindicator. The Vindicator is the most notable one because people just automatically lose their characters to it.
Yeah, the long-range shooting, and yeah, I could see that.
The other
one of the things that
big shift we saw is you're seeing lots of big vehicle, big dumb monster, dreadnoughts. They're all coming back. The Castellan is gone. Those things are coming out to play. Magnus is back. Mortarion is back. Lehman Russ is all over the place. So you got lots of vehicles, lots of stuff, plenty of TA and T7 things with a medium amount of wound.
It's almost like they took the Castellan and broke it into smaller pieces to get more board control.
Yeah, the we were having a chat outside the topic of like what's currently broken in that segment, and it's Derridio and Caladrius as far as points to what you get.
I mean, having practiced against Don's list enough time with the Derridios, I still couldn't believe the way their Blitz is skill 2. How did that happen? So,
yep, the meta of Big Dumb Robot.
So, are you still running the Freebooters list that last time you were on, you were saying you were going to hang up?
Yes, I'm still running. I've been to 2 GT since with it. It's done really well. The only people I really lost to have been like Don and and Brandon Grant and Carlos, who top A to BAO, and then another gentleman by the name of Alan, who also went X1. So I'm not losing too much with it, but I definitely am taking some loss up. But this has been piloting well. It adapted to the new meta well. So not having to answer three Abominable Knight has been way easier. But at the same time, you saw a shift in orcs. We were going over the top five list. 2 orc list 1, 0 ludas between their 2 lists. So,
which if yeah, like I say, 3-4 months ago, I think when Josh was on, it was a question of that'd be unthinkable. I mean, you showed up for work with 25 ludas tops, and you get the mob up strategy, which is automatic.
Yeah, Simon's list was the same way as Elvia, where he brought a ton of boys and a ton of stone boy and mobs of field. Chuck's list was shooting support with 3 shock attack guns and mech gun, supporting a big pile of boys and a ton of CP. So he went Death Skulls pure. And Simon was all evil son. So
you mentioned ton of CP. So what if we're not mobbing up, what are they still spending the CP on?
Shoot again. Oh, sorry, more DACA, which is exploding fives, always set on 5. So shoot again. And shoot again. Because you can vigilance shoot again. And Badman shoot again. Both of those cost 2 CP. Green Tide, which is 3 CP. And those are kind of the big ones you always expect to see in return. Fight again and fight on death on the War Boss, because he's just a better Smash Captain.
Moving so one thing I thought was just this quick note that it was I knew you were still playing your freebooter list simply because other 40K media outlets were talking about the list. I'm like, I know who they're talking about. So curious what changes now that you know what's coming down the pike, what changes would you make to your list at this point, if any?
Well, my next GT is in 2 weeks. It's Gentleman's GT here in Vegas. And I'm not changing it. It's going to be the same.
No changes at all. It's probably smart. Know what you're playing with and kind of go in there. And as you said, it seems to cover all the bases at this point. So
the only change I'm considering, and I'm not going to do it, is cutting three boys to put my war boss on a bike. That's about it.
Is that so the boss can maneuver and spread his aura, or is he just not getting into combat, or what's the game plan there?
Just 14-inch move, really. Extra wound, extra toughness. He loses fight again because he's not infantry. Where on foot, he has fight again. So that's the trade-off.
Yeah, it's a big trade-off there. He gets there, but he doesn't hit as often. Interesting. Interesting. One thing I've not seen really take off, maybe I'm mistaken on this, is all the specialty detachments from Vigilus. I haven't seen as many from Orc players other than the super shotgun, but there are quite a few of those other ones you just never see on the table. Is that an oversight, or they just didn't keep up?
Well, they cost CP, so they have to be good. Everyone takes Dreadwaw for the relic and shoot again.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's no reason to buy the others.
Okay. So I was even looking at the Speed Freaks. I was like, all right, that's kind of rereading it the other day. I was like, why is this not being played? But I'm like, well, I didn't have the rest of my Orc Codex handy, so let's try to look at what exactly am I doubling the movement of? Would they actually, and just kind of thinking out loud in terms of you're seeing a lot more of these small vehicle meta coming out, and it seems like Orcs would thrive on that, but not the case.
Well, I was running Scrap Jet, and I might again. So they are good. I know other Orc players are cooking with them, but I'm not going to reveal their secrets.
So I have to wait 2 weeks to find out, right?
Yep.
Sounds like a good plan. Mentioned also, one of the things that came up quite a bit was the return of the magic boxes when it comes to terrain. And this is the enclosed ruins. How much of a factor were they for you this past weekend at BAO?
Incredibly huge. I definitely lost my game to Carlos Kaiser based on a giant magic box.
You sound thrilled about that. Tell me what happened.
So table 5 of BAO has the worst terrain I've ever played with. I lost both game on that map. Not even kidding.
So it's just the larger hangar type terrain? Because I know there's a couple of that there are just like gargantuanly huge.
No, it was some old game castle terrain, and me and my opponent argued about it, so we diced off. He won the dice off. So it was giant ruin with a big door on it that you could fit custodian bikes in. So he hid his entire arm. So rough day for me, especially when they're custodies. So
wow. Okay. Yeah, I've seen this return. You know, a couple other players who came back from BA. It was funny because a bunch of our teammates went, and they were all reported back. Yeah, the magic boxes were back, and they were back in spades there. And interesting, one player had the exact opposite experience. He didn't get a single. I think he had one magic box across 6 games. So I get why they have them. I understand why they had to come up with the rules that go with it. Is there a place for them in 40K?
I want to agree to a point. Giant hangars and things that allow entire arms to not interact with other people's army are bad. Small thing, like corner ruin, little tiny buildings on the side, small infantry or character hider, perfectly fine. But when you can stuff an entire brigade or whichever to exist in a spot that your opponent can't interact with, is bad.
Oh my god, I can't. Still can try to picture this. All these custode models being piled into the this. I think that thing is like 12x12 box. You know, the hangar.
Yeah, it wasn't a hangar. It was this giant blue foam piece from years ago. It definitely was not ITC laser cut terrain.
Aha. Okay.
But.
All right. So, yeah. Ray, I think you're right. Maybe we need to revive one of our old terrain episodes again to help people out. Remember, guys, the three P's of terrain building: proportion, purpose, and panache. You cannot overlook any of those three for any reason, but we'll talk about that in a future episode. All right. So, this seems to be a sore subject. Let's move on from terrain at this particular point. Tell us a little bit more about your tournament coming up and what can people expect at the Gentleman's GT?
Well, the Gentleman's GT is our first local major outside LVO. We already have 70 or so tickets sold. So we have about 30 more. So if you want to get tickets, get them soon. Cause they usually sell out like really fast starting out. But you can expect to see the majority of the frontline gaming guys there. You're going to see a bunch of big names. And you're going to see, well, a plethora of West Coast 40K all at this tournament. It's also a giant convention in general. So you're going to see War Machine, Kill Team, Bolt Action, all the other miniature games. You're going to have a doubles tournament, RTTs. So it's going to be a pretty stacked weekend. And I think the majority of people are going to have a good time. I said my plans for it, bring the same list, see what happens. But that's about all I got for it.
All right. Now, are you on the strip in Vegas? Where exactly are you going to have this event located?
It's going to be at the Gold Coast Casino. So it's right off the strip.
Excellent. And where can people go to get tickets?
People can go to, well, let me give you the exact site. I believe. Put me on the spot here.
Sorry about that.
They can go to warroomgames.wrg.com, and there will be links and banners and tickets there for all the events.
Very cool. So definitely check that out. I know several of our teammates have made the trip to previous Gentleman GTs and had nothing but positive things to say about it. So a great opportunity. Definitely support this event. It'd be a wonderful time.
I forgot to say, the cool thing about it, why we call it Gentleman's GT, is everyone dresses up. You don't need to, but there's definitely a war for most dapper.
See, now I need to go. So this is... I've got all these suits that I can't wear in Arizona because it gets so flipping hot here in the summer, and they're just... I'm ready to go. I got my Tony Soprano suit ready to go. I'm good.
I don't think it's much cooler in up in Nevada.
Not too much.
It's got
but we have nice AC.
Yeah. This was getting in and out of my car in between each of my clients. Oh, that's the worst. Show the jacket quick. They're waiting for the car AC to crank up. Oh, terrible. That's actually pretty cool. I like the idea of most dapper award. So like this, we have to go like the whole, you know, the hat, you know, the fedora and the handkerchief in the pocket, the whole nine yards here. Excellent. I will consult my tailor now. Get my suit. Sounds awesome. So again, really cool event coming up. After the break, we will go over your ITC top 10 as well as future events aside from the Gentleman's GT. Talk about what else is going on in the world and wrap up this particular episode. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back after the break, and here is your ITC top 10. Couple key changes here. Brian Pullen sneaks himself into the top 10 with a 913 points. We mentioned him earlier winning a key GT over in England. Simon Pritis now jumps into the ITC top 10 in ninth place. Daniel Hesters takes a bit of a drop. He drops from fifth place to eighth place, but still hanging in the top 10 with 928 points. Andrew Ford makes also a bit of a drop from fourth place all the way down to seventh place with 944 points. Joe Mayfam makes his way, hangs on to the sixth place where he was last week. Matthew Ali drops from third to fifth place with 952 points. The big mover in the positive direction for this week is John Lennon, going from 10th place, leaping up all the way to fourth place with a strong showing at this past BAO. Third place, Richard Siegler, hanging on at 973 points. TJ Lanigan holds down the second spot, as he did last week, with 1,021 points. In your leader, the conqueror from Canada, Jim Vessel, at 1,092 points, still in the top spot for the ITC. Hey, Ray, what events we got coming up next weekend?
All right. So there is the Canton Cup and Guangdong Shen. China?
That was impressive. Thank you.
It's listed on there twice, so I don't know if they're running two events or if they accidentally doubled up. There's the Clarksville Warhammer 40K League. The Amiable Bright Kelowna 40K GT in British Columbia. Ooh, the Hooded Goblin GT. I bet Scar is going to that one. It's in it's at the Hooded Goblin in Halton Hills, Ontario.
Sounds like a good time. All right.
War in the Burg GT and Fredericksburg, Virginia. The Mythicos Triumph 40K GT and Parsippany Troy Hills, New Jersey.
It's lovely this time of year.
The GCWA Landmass GT at Bayou Wars in D'Iberville. Is that Mississippi?
MS?
Yeah.
Yep, Mississippi.
All right. The Alpha Strike Series in Marietta, Georgia. The Beef and Wing Brawl.
Love that place.
at the Buffalo Marriott Niagara in Buffalo, New York.
I'd be there the whole time wearing like a bib, just covered in like hot sauce. People would not want like, hey, you know how sometimes when you like roll like a ton of dice, or Ben, you probably knows from playing orcs, right? This many hits, this many wounds. All right, can I just roll your dice to do arm? They'd be like, I don't want to touch your dice, dude. They're just covered in hot sauce and ranch dressing. No one would touch. Come near me.
Is that a pit or rant?
It's like it's up in Buffalo, New York, and it has a huge like. I think when I understood from Saturday to Sunday night, they had this huge like wing special where it's all you can eat for like 12 hours. I just go for the wings. I would go 0-23 if I could just to. Anyway, I digress. It's late at night. Why am I this hungry? But anyway, moving on.
You'd be one of those people. Would you be one of those people who'd just be like hot sauce on the dice? Just for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, why is the die cocked? Because it's in a pile of ranch dressing. It's just.
Watch out for the one guy who grabs a dice and then rubs his eye.
Oh, no, I've done that. And it got underneath my contact lens. Oh, it was a disaster. Oh,
no.
Yeah, it was bad. I get to see it now. Yeah, someone's like, wow, I really like the paint job. Is that the new contrast paint? No, that's just hot sauce.
Wow, I love your blood angels. No, that's just hot sauce. Those are ultramarines.
They're actually Nurgle. All right, moving on, please. Any other events there, Trey?
No, that was the last one.
Oh, of course we ended up. Well, of course not. We still have to talk about the Gentleman's GT. Ben, one more quick plug for your event.
At the Gentleman's
yes, sir.
GT, the weekend of June 14th to the 16th.
And remember, there is an award for being the most dapper, so not a place for hot wings. I might even want to wear gloves to the event, so that'd be pretty. That'd be cool. Oh, so there with my white gloves as I move my models around. Oh, that'd be really. That would be pretty. Sorry, I might have to talk to my wife about going to this event. Okay. Anyway. We've had a lot of fun here at the end of the show. Hope you guys did as well. If you did, leave us a review on iTunes. You can find us there. Also, leave us some comments on Facebook and follow our Facebook page as we provide breaking news between podcast episodes of any new happenings in the world of Warhammer 40,000 or just random things in our life. Ben, I want to thank you for coming on the show once again. Glad to have you here.
You're very welcome.
Ray, good to have you here as well.
Always good to be here.
And I had to be here because otherwise the computer program doesn't work. But anyway, I was so glad to be here and glad you guys were too. Thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.